Okay, well, I'm going to share with you a story. I hope the teaching is encouraging, but I'm going to share with you a story that came across this week. And I'll tell you what, I was so encouraged. I won't say it changed me, but it sure reminded me of the power of prayer. So how many, honestly, you kind of wonder about your prayers? Just a little bit. I mean, is Jesus listening, right? I got my hand up. Kind of wonder, you know, are our prayers making a difference? Well, a gentleman by the name of Thomas Carpenter, as part of the Assemblies of God movement and partnership and so on like that. Well, last March, he contracted COVID and wasn't feeling well. Those feelings of not well soon turned into pretty harsh symptoms, ended up in the hospital in Springfield. And it just went downhill from there. His oxygen had dropped to the point where the doctors are saying, you're on 100% oxygen. We don't know what to do, and you cannot get lower. He ended up in ICU. He ended up on a ventilator. He says that now after he's home now, incredible odds. You know, his odds were very, very small that he would even survive. He says now that while in isolation, he began to experience something that I just want to share with you because I think is so, so powerful, the power of prayer. Let me just read it to you. He says that while there and while in isolation, nobody is there. He was alone. He couldn't move, couldn't open his eyes, and he was having trouble figuring out why. Despite the paralysis, he wasn't panicking. He felt perfect peace. Now, just think about it. He decided the prayers were the reason for his calm. He listened attentively. At first, he heard just one or two voices, but soon the prayers began to multiply. Some voices he understood, praying in English with assured faith. Others offered only hints of meaning in languages he had encountered during his missionary travels, but had never learned to use himself. And then there were the languages he immediately recognized as heavenly. Voices praying in tune with the Holy Spirit's prompting. In words found in no human tongue, but vibrant and alive with providential intent. As he continued to listen to the multitude of voices, he thought back to his favorite passage in Revelation where the Apostle John spoke of a voice of many waters. Now, just to emphasize, he's in ICU. He's in isolation. Then from among the chorus of intercessors, Thomas heard a cherished voice praying for him specifically, his wife Angela. It was like the Lord just dropped a microphone in front of her, and I heard her say, "Lord, would you please heal my wonderful husband, Thomas? I need him." Had Thomas been able to open his eyes that day, there would have been no praying throng to greet him, no Pentecostal camp meeting raising the rafters, the ICU wing at Cox Medical Center in Springfield, Missouri. He was kept deliberately quiet. Thomas Carpenter was unable to move or see because he was in a medically induced coma and breathing in cadence with a ventilator. The doctors and nurses supervising his care were unsure he would recover from the coronavirus doing its best to paralyze his lungs, but they couldn't hear the prayers. And he goes on to describe when he actually came out of it and Jesus healed him. He went home and shared with his wife when he got home, when they were to be united, because remember, during all this time, she was not allowed in the room. And she shared with her the prayer that he heard that she prayed. And when he did, he tells the story that she almost melted because they were the exact words that she had prayed. The exact words. And I think about that. I think about the prayers being lifted by desperate people. And prayers that you have been lifting to the Lord and kind of wondering, God, are you hearing me? Are you hearing the prayers for my son or for my daughter, for my father, for my mother? Are you hearing the prayers for this? Are you hearing my heart's cry? The answer is yes, he is. Yes, he is. The prayers that are being lifted by you and so many others are heard in heaven, and Jesus is responding to our prayers. So I just want to say, don't get discouraged. You're praying right now. Keep praying. You're making a difference. I want to pray for you right now. I don't know what all the needs are, but I just believe as we pray together that prayers lifted to heaven are heard, and Jesus responds. I believe that. Do you? Do you? I do. The exact word. Say so. Say so. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I just thank you that we can come boldly before your throne, lifting our hearts in prayer, lifting the cry of our voices. For some of us, it's a whisper. It comes from our heart. For some of us, it's a loud cry. But Jesus, you hear everyone. I thank you for this story that we have heard today. Again, reminding us of the power of prayer. And God, that the prayers that your people lift up are not unnoticed. God, you know about each and every one. So we say thank you, Father. It's in boldness we pray, in confidence we pray, and we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I see my friend Tommy. Where were you? You were standing up over there saying so. I'll tell you what, I'm going to teach you in just a second, okay? But let me tell you one other thing, because we gathered in prayer around Tommy last week, didn't we? There you go. Say so. There you go, Tommy, right? And we prayed for healing, didn't we? What did Jesus do? Okay, there you go. You guys on camera, I'm sorry, but, you know, we're just taking a second here, you know, in person. Like, Jesus touched Tommy in a powerful way, and he's here today to testify of that. So, oh, man. Well, I don't remember the exact day because I was too little. I was only 3 years old, about 3 years old. And when my mom had experienced a divorce, and she made her way to church, my grandma's church, mom's church, and she made her way there. Mom and five kids from like 1 year old, you know, to, I don't know, whatever, my oldest sister, okay? She's old. So anyway, mom took us all to church. And when we arrived at this church in downtown Bremerton, something happened. I want to talk about today. Not just my experience, I want to talk about the church. Something happened, and it was this. This community saw this single mom come in with five kids trailing behind her. And I would tell you, we were good in church, too. She lined us up, because if we weren't good, there's a price to pay. Okay, so we were there, and this community, this faith community in downtown Bremerton, gathered around this family, and they supported us, and they loved us. I've said, I think now wrongly so, I thought about this past week, that as a single parent mom raised us all alone, but that's actually not true. As a single parent mom raised us in a community of faith, and these people gathered around and were a part of my upbringing, a part of our faith experience. It was while attending there that I came to faith in Jesus. That experience impacted me, not just as a young child, but impacted me for all of my life, and not just my life, but the lives of my brothers and my sister. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't always easy. I can remember when I was old enough, and mom told me about the time when this faith community, they were considering something that was very, very difficult and very, very hurtful to her and to others. Although they didn't follow through with it, there was discussion and whether or not they should allow a divorce member to be a member of the church. It was hurtful. They didn't follow that pathway, and I'm thankful, and I think it would have been wrong. But mom was hurt, but here's what she did. She hung in there. She hung in there. She didn't walk away. She stayed. And as a result, this community spoke into our lives in a way that I could never describe or I could never repeat. I want to talk about the church today. This table that you can see here, this was in my first grade Sunday school classroom. When I told one of our team members this morning about it, he said, well, then it must be an antique. So he's a former team member now anyway, so just kidding about that, John. But it's in our home now, and it reminds me, in fact, this past week, and I was thinking about it, it sits upstairs, and I actually, I actually sat down and I kneeled at it. So it was just a moment for me being reminded of who Jesus is and what he has done in my life and my family's life and in the community of faith. I didn't steal it. Mom did. No, anyway, so, no, she didn't. Mom was the custodian of the church for a long period of time, my grandma too. And so when the church relocated, I got it. It still sits in my home, serves as a reminder of my growing up in church. For many of us, we have likely gathered today online and in our homes or perhaps a watch party. Some of you are there in person here. And we have come with certain expectations. Now, to a large degree, I'm speaking to the choir, I guess, today because you're here and you're there. But I hope I can encourage us and maybe to take another step in this community of faith today. But for many of us, we come into a church or a community like this with certain expectations and certain hopes. Some of you have been a part of a church, again, a faith community, for a very long time. It's been part of your upbringing. And so you've been a part. For some of you, maybe it's brand new. For maybe this is your first time. You're here, your guest, or you walked in, and I don't call you a visitor, I call you a guest. Thank you for coming. We want you. But this is your first time, and maybe some of you are newer to a faith community. I don't know, but so we make up all kinds of experiences. We come from all kinds of experience into this church, into a community of faith, and we have different experiences. Some have returned after walking away from church because you were hurt in some way. And so you just left and you just walked away. You said, I can't be there anymore. Some of you are contemplating maybe walking away and disconnecting from a church for a variety of reasons. I don't know. I had a person one time who sent me an email. They were walking released from Gateway, large in part because I had forgotten their name. And so it is what it is. I blame it on my mom anyway, who could never remember my name. She usually remember every other sibling's name before she got to mine. Like, oh, Bob, Tom. Okay. So anyway, but we have those expectations, don't we? And we kind of bring them in. And sometimes, you know, they're unrealized expectations. We didn't experience what we had hoped we did. So some of our questions maybe when we came in the church today is what will worship be like today? You know, I mean, maybe this question, I wonder what he or she will talk about. Like, we just launched a series called, what is he going to talk about today? Maybe that was one of your questions. Will I meet new friends today? And some of you have come, you know, looking maybe for a new connection or a new friend. Will I see old friends, you know, people that I have learned to love? Will they be there? Will she be there? And then finally, maybe our question is this, will I even like church today? And maybe for some of us to go like, oh, no, I don't really like that too much today. But it is what it is, you know. And maybe you would add to that list, too, as we consider gathering together. Here's what I want to talk about today. I want to offer you some questions. I hope to bring clarity around who we are, something that I love so much, and that's the church and our faith community and the larger church, the body of Christ. So who is the church? We're going to be talking about that. For some, it'd be a great reminder, but let's be reminded, who is the church? Secondly, what is the church all about? So are we people who just kind of like come on a Sunday, you know, we kind of schedule before the Hawks game, after the Hawks game, whatever. So what church is all about is like gathers coming and just like whatever. We're going to talk exactly what church is about. What's my role in the church, which is really critically important. We're going to talk about that as well. Then finally, do I need to attend a church? And lastly, and if I choose not to attend a church, am I a Christian at all? Am I a follower of Jesus? So kind of hold on to those questions for just a little bit, will you? So last week, we launched a series called Clarity, seeking to bring clarity to some questions that sometimes we struggle with, or we at least we're thinking about, or maybe we're confronted with by someone else. I go, why do you go to church? Why did you do that this morning? And I want to try to help us if I can. But this is important. In all the things that we're going to be talking about in this series, we don't seek clarity and understanding just to grow our knowledge. That's not the purpose. I hope it does that, But if that's the only thing it does, I think we will miss the target. We seek clarity and we seek understanding, biblical understanding, that helps us become. We seek to learn from the Bible, to learn from Jesus, helps us to become more and more like Him as a follower of Jesus. Spurgeon said this, we may always test whether we are growing by this question, do I know more of Christ today than I did yesterday? Do I live nearer to Christ today than I did a little while ago? That's how we test it. Are we growing in our relationship with Jesus? The goal is to grow and to become fully developed disciples of Jesus. So Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, exhorts us with these words, to grow in both the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we grow in the knowledge of the Lord and the life that He calls us to, we will also grow in our expression of who He is. That expression of who Jesus is can't stay within our community. It naturally flows out. Spurgeon goes on, he says this, it is certain that while the grace of God toward us does not grow because God can't become more of who He is, there is such a thing as a development of grace. And that's in you and me. So He develops grace in us. Dave Platt says this, when people in the world see the life of Christ in the church, they will believe the love of God in the world. I love that. So as a faith community, when they see this and they see Jesus growing in our lives, they will believe the love of God for the world as we grow in the knowledge of Jesus and who He is. Last week, talked about judging and did my best to bring clarity around that. I said, look, people wrongly say the Bible says don't judge. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says don't judge in this attitude and so on, but hold one another accountable. So we talked about that. And do so in a way that honors the Lord. And if you missed that, you're wondering what we said, you might go back to the archives and check it out. But let me introduce something to you that you may have heard of before, or maybe it's brand new, maybe it's just a reminder, I don't know. But it's just these words right here. Letters. IFTTT. If this, then that. Say it with me. If this, then that. So if we do this right, this thing called church right, then this is what we'll experience. That's what I'm going to talk about. So what is this and what is the church? So let's circle back to that question for just a moment. Why did Jesus set up the church as a group He wanted to leave behind to represent His kingdom? Now, you might be going, I've been wondering about that, because as I look around at people everywhere, I'm going like, I don't know why Jesus chose you. Maybe you didn't use those words. Maybe you didn't think it exactly like that. But as we look around today, like, maybe the idea goes, really? This is the group that Jesus left here to represent Him? You know what the answer to that is? Yes. Or say so. It is. Why did He do that? Why did He leave you? Why did He leave me here after coming to faith? Now, I have to say that there are times when I'm thinking, wouldn't it be cool if when we became believers, right, just in that moment, we just instantly went to heaven? And some of us have prayed, dear Jesus, come now, right? Because I want out right now, right? I mean, be honest, I have prayed that. I mean, like, I'm just done with all this stuff going on. This is a really good time, Jesus, for you to take your church home. Have you thought that? I have thought that. Wouldn't it be great if when we become believers, boom, we're just gone? It'd be weird because someone would come down to the altar maybe here or in your car driving, and you come to faith and boom, you just disappeared. Nobody would be here. So anyway, Jesus left us here for a reason. This is the church, or what the Bible refers to as the called out ones. You are called out, and I am called out for a purpose that we'll talk about in just a moment. A proper biblical understanding of the church is not a building. I think that you probably know that. It's not a building. It's just one thing. You know who it is? It's people. You're the church. I'm the church. Together, we make up the church. It's you and me. In Romans, Paul says this, greet also the church in their house. He wasn't saying when you arrive, because none of you did it here. None of you did it at home when you woke up and you went to church in your home. Well, good morning, house. Nobody, I don't think anybody here, when you drove up, you didn't say, well, hello, gateway. Greetings, gateway building. No, we don't do that. Because the church is not, Paul says, greet the church. He's talking about those who had assembled together, the people of the church. The church is the body of Christ, of which he is the head. Amen. Say so. The church is the body of Christ, of which he is the head. Jesus is the head of this church, Gateway, not Tom. Don't be so quiet. Say so. And you should be happy about that. Jesus is the head of the church, and he's the head of this church. And sometimes when people will go like, hey, what about your church? They're going like, hey, it's not my church. Which also means you can't blame me for all that's going on. It's his church. You blame anybody, you better start blaming Jesus, because he is the head of this church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus is the head of this group. Say so. There is a church, there is given to the church and for the church's benefit, a head who is also the head over all things. The church has authority and power to overcome all opposition because her leader and head is the Lord of all. You see, when we move out into the world, when we become part of the mission of Jesus that he's called it, we're active in that, we are victorious. Not because somebody has dreamt up some program or something to do only for this one thing, reason, and that is because Jesus is the head of the church. He is the head. It's important for us to understand what it means to be the called out ones, part of this church, if we're to make a difference in the world. What the world sees in the church must be different than what it sees in the world. If we're the called out ones, what the world sees must be different. We are the salt of the world. Salt is different from the food it flavors. So when you go home today and you eat, or you're at the restaurant, wherever you go, you grab the salt shaker. That salt is different from what you're going to put it on. That's you and that's me. So who is the church? And this is the exciting part. Who is the church? When you place your faith and you place your trust in Jesus, young or old, no matter what your journey in life had been, you immediately were granted a brand new purpose in life. And get this now, you were placed into a brand new family. This is important that we really embrace this and we really understand that when we came to faith, you're part of a brand new family. Years ago, and we do it some now, but I don't think quite as much as we used to. You used to hear a lot of brothers and sisters, right? So brother this and sister this, and you would hear people greet that. Maybe some of you did, even when you came here in person, maybe even in your watch party at home. I don't know, but have you heard that before? Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, greet your brother, greet your sister. Well, we did that because we recognized that we were placed into a family, God's family, and now we're united, we're connected, we're brothers and sisters. Maybe you don't like your biological family that you were born into, but you're stuck there. Maybe you're wondering about this spiritual family that you were born into, but listen now, we're all stuck together. We are part of the body of Christ. This is a good thing, to become part of his body is a spiritual work that none of us could ever accomplish on our own. That's why we celebrate communion every week. It's something that Jesus has done. And now you're what the Bible says, peculiar. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. So you can look at that person beside you online at home and go like, you're really peculiar. You are peculiar. Now, we use that word today, don't we? Because we go like, okay, you're kind of weird. Right? That's how we use the word, but the Bible that's not how it was used then. And that's not what he's meant. Here's what it says. You're like, you're God's possession. You are peculiar people. You are God's possession. You're in the family of God. You belong to him. This past week, in my devotional reading, and I've talked about it before, and I just encourage you, like, be a Bible reader. You have to be a Bible reader. In my devotions, and I'm reading through the Bible, and I just circle through the Gospels. And I'm reading in John 9, a story that I have read so many times, and probably you have too. I'm going to tell it to you. Because I think that there could be something that we have missed in this story. And I think I have missed it. And it just captured my heart this past week. John chapter 9, the healing of the man born blind. Maybe you remember that story. Maybe it's a brand new story to you. But there was a man who was born blind. And Jesus healed him, put mud on his eyes, and said, go wash. And he came back and he could see. Well, that raised the hackles of all the religious leaders of the day, because God forbid Jesus healed a man born blind on the Sabbath day. And that just doesn't happen. Well, they began to question this man, of course, over and over, and question his parents. And they're going like, even some of them were saying, well, that's not really the man. That just only looks like him, you know. And he's going, no, it's me. It's me. Now just think about it. You're born blind. You've never seen before, and now you can see. And they kept questioning him. They go like, how'd this happen? And he goes, I'll tell you how it happened. This man, Jesus, he's a prophet, right? This is what he did. He put on my eyes, and he told me wash, and now I can see. And it's in this story that we read these words. I don't know, once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was this, but now I see. But here, if you read on, here's where I think the story takes a twist or takes a turn. And really brought home to me, and I pray for you as well. Because near the end of this story, the Bible says, and they cast him out. The religious leaders of the day cast him out. Think about it for just a moment. Here's what they said. You're no longer part of us. We cast you out. You're no longer going to do life with us. We cast you out. And here's what happened. So after they called him the second time, proclaimed that this can't be from God, they answered him, and this is what they said. Verse number 34, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? He's just telling the story of what happened. And they cast him out. The next part is what I think the story is all about. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. Don't miss what happened. They cast him out. Jesus sought him out. They cast him out. Jesus found him. Jesus found him and placed him into a brand new family. Can we just let the truth of that sink deep into our hearts today? The Bible says that he came to do what? To seek and to save lost people. They cast him out. Jesus sought him out. Found him, he believed, he became a member of the body of Christ. That's your story, and that's mine. Jesus sought us out, and placed us, when we believed in him, into a brand new family, the body of Christ. So what's our role now that we are in this family? What is our role? As members of the body of Christ, no one is less than. And I want to drive that point home for just a moment. No one is less than. I mean, I understand that some of us have experienced in our biological families, and maybe in the church today, that you're just not as talented as. You know, you can't sing, you can't play the piano, you can't do this, or you can't do that. And so somehow, some way, the message has come across to us like you're less than. This is not biblical. This is not the Bible. This is not what the Bible says. In the body of Christ, no one is less than. We have different roles. We have different responsibilities. Paul talks about the body of Christ coming together, being individual members of it, some seen and not seen, different parts, different roles, all part of the body of Christ. Because here's the truth. We can do together what we cannot do individually. We can do together what we can't do individually. And together, you have made a difference in this community and across the world. Together, here's what we have done. Together, this last month, our missions team has literally sent thousands of dollars overseas to make a difference in the world. This is what we are doing together. What we have done together in the last month since COVID is we have fed hundreds and hundreds of people at the height of our meal program. 300 to 500 meals were being served every day or every week. Every week. Because of what you're doing. Because of what you're doing, we're hearing of people come to faith and growing in their faith. We can do together what we cannot do individually. As we all become functioning members of the body of Christ, no one is less than. Do I need to attend a church? The better question is this. Do I need to gather with believers? The Bible details the functions of the body. What used to be called body life, right? So love one another, pray for one another, exhort one another, encourage one another, bear one another's burdens, bear with one another, which means put up with one another, and on and on. And my question is, how do you do that if you're not connected? How do you do that if we don't like get together, we don't gather together in large groups and in small groups? Do I need to attend a church? The moment I say, I don't need you, is the moment I say, all I need is me, and that is pride. And the Bible doesn't speak very highly of pride. The church is to gather and learn together from one another and the teaching of his word. To hear the teaching of his word. We gather around his table. We'll do that in just a few moments. We learn of the challenges and the struggles that we're having. And we come together and we pray and we encourage. We need each other. Being connected to one another. Church attends. And again, I'm just like speaking to the choir. It's not my idea. It's not our idea. It's God's idea. It's his will. If mom were here today, she'd go like, don't miss church. Don't miss church. Can I be connected to the head, Christ, and not his body and still be a Christian? Here's what I say. Well, like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? I believe you can be a Christian, but I'm not sure you're a growing Christian or a follower of Jesus if you're not. Not walking, certainly, according to the Bible and the wisdom of the Bible and what Jesus desires for you and for me. I said last week, I don't remember which gathering. Can't be connected to the head and not the body because that's a freak. We're connected to the head. We're also connected to the body. Will I go to heaven? If I'm not, well, I think someone said it better than I can say it. This is like no amount of church attendance will earn you eternity in heaven. No lack of church attendance will result in the loss of salvation. But why would you? A loving community where people belong together, grow together, and where all members are actively involved in the mission of Jesus is a community that Jesus will use to change the world. The difference that is being made in the world today, I believe, is being made by a church that is moving forward. Jesus as the head, united together in this mission of sharing the good news of the gospel. So I just have a final question for you, and then we're going to join together in communion. What next step do you need to take? What next step? Now, I'm just going to say to you, like, you're here. And maybe the next step isn't like, okay, I'm going to come to church every Sunday. I'm going to be connected. I'm not going to disconnect from the body. But maybe the next step is like, I think I want to step in and be involved in whatever way. I mean, that's another series. You know what Jesus might be speaking to your heart? How can I be an active member in the body of Christ? And I'll say this, I'm not talking about how can I be an active member of Gateway. We are a faith community. This is where, you know, this is where we do our life together. And I pray that we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and we see people come to faith. This is not about growing a church. This is about being a part of the body of Christ and together being united and making a difference in the world today, sharing the good news. Listen, Jesus is coming. I don't know when it's going to be. I hope sooner than later. Maybe you do too. But there are lost people in the world today. There are people in the world today who need to hear this message that Jesus came to seek and to save lost people. Somebody may have cast you out, but Jesus is seeking you out. That's the message that they need to hear. This is what communion is all about. A few weeks ago when Jen and I were gone and we gathered online with you, I was sitting at our counter and, you know, communion time, I grabbed a cracker out of the pantry, and then I think I had a cup of coffee. So whatever you're gathering, someone sent a message after the last gathering, is coffee and an ice cream sandwich okay? 9 o'clock gathering, and if that's your deal, that's okay, all right, donut or whatever it is, really symbolizes what we're talking about, that Jesus gave his life for you and for me. He sought you out. He sought me out. Then he gave us this incredible privilege of doing life together so we could tell other people of what he has done. Communion just is the family coming around the table. If you're not a part of the family of Christ, it doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. Boy, when we gather together as a family, it means everything. It means everything. His body was broken that we would be made whole. His blood was shed that we could be forgiven of our sins and given a brand new future. Let's take the bread together, shall we? And the cup, let's take it together. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that when we were lost, you sought us out, found us, and you placed us in a brand new family. It's made up of other believers, others who have placed their trust in you, placed their faith. Jesus, we love you. Thank you that I can live with purpose. Thank you that I can live in unity with my other brothers and sisters. Perfect, no. Healthy, yes. Because of what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.